The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pod of thunder and rock and roll, and Eli Roth returns to Talk is Jericho, his sixth appearance here on the show, I think. This time he's talking about something very serious. It's his new horror film of sorts, but this one is real. A documentary called Finn that chronicles the horror that is the shark fin trade industry. It's streaming now on Discovery Plus. This is a much watch. It's very disturbing and very real. 275,000 sharks are killed each year primarily for one reason, to remove their fin to then make shark fin soup. It's an atrocity. It's leading sharks down a path to extinction. And Eli, along with the help of a couple of his A-list friends, Leonardo DiCaprio and actress Nina Dobrev, are trying to prevent that from happening. The plight of the sharks and the horrific ways in which they're being fished and killed is documented in Finn. The documentary also puts to rest some common misconceptions about sharks. They're not human predators, and they definitely aren't hunting human flesh. It shines a spotlight on the fishing tournaments in the United States that are also contributing to the sharks' demise. You'll hear the disservice that the movie Jaws has done to the plight of sharks over the last almost 50 years, and the way the fishing industry continues to exploit that to their advantage, and most importantly, what you can do to help save the sharks and the oceans. FinTheMovie.com is information on how you can help, and you must help. We got to save the oceans, or the whole ecosystem can go down the drain. FinTheMovie.com shows you where you can help and where and how to download the Discovery Plus app so you can watch this very, very eye-opening documentary. Eli Roth and Finn are coming up, and so is Fozzy's Save the World Tour. We got another festival date before the tour really gets going in Sheboygan, Wisconsin at Brat Days on August 7th, and then the Save the World Tour starts in Columbus on September 2nd. Joliet on the 3rd, Belvedere on the 4th. If you're coming to the Chicago area for Double or Nothing in Chicago, AEW, we are just down the road. Joliet is about an hour from Chicago. Belvedere is about 2 hours. So if you're coming for the AEW pay-per-view and from Dynamite, you might want to check out the Fozzy shows as well. So many more shows. Go to FozzyRock.com for all tickets and VIP. Johnson City, Cleveland, Flint, Pittsburgh, Iowa City, all sold out. And almost all of the VIPs are sold out. I think there's only half a dozen cities that have VIPs available. So go to FozzyRock.com right now to look for tickets and VIP info. And don't forget, we're also headed to Europe starting November 30th in Manchester, England. We're going to Newcastle, Glasgow, Dublin, Belfast, London, Birmingham. Swansea is sold out. Nottingham is sold out. Lots of action going on. Go to FozzyRock.com and be a part of the movement. And also, Sane has become our fifth consecutive top 20 single in a row. So it's very, very cool time for Fozzy, and a cool time for you to be listening to the plight of the sharks and what director Eli Roth is going to do to help save them right here on Talk is Jericho now. Good friend Eli Roth back on Talk is Jericho. I think it's the fifth time you've been on.
Am I in the five? Is this making me the Five Timers Club? Is that like...
Yeah,
the-
you're...
It's like a Saturday Night Live when they, yeah, like Alec Baldwin, Steve Martin when they're in the five, you know, posted five times.
But the reason is we always have fun subjects to discuss, and you always have cool projects. And this one, I remember you told me about it like a year ago, talking about Finn, the documentary that you just released. And you always have a lot of cool things and stuff going on. So I kind of forgot about it. And then just out of nowhere, you hit me up, hey, Finn is coming out. And I was like, oh my gosh, I vaguely remember this. Watched the documentary and it blew my mind, because it really is kind of this next step, like you started on Green Inferno, of Eli Roth becoming almost like a modern day Werner Herzog, of being a director that's fearless to find what he needs to find and get what he needs to get.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate that, because I certainly will take the Herzog comparison, and he's one of my heroes. But It's funny because Green Inferno was basically about kind of activism, lazy activism, and social justice warriors that just want to do the ones that want to do the bare minimum. Like they'll read a tweet and then get super involved and then just go back to their life. You know, they don't really care. They just want to look like they care. So that's what the movie was commenting on. But then I was like, I don't want to be one of those. If I'm actually going to make a movie about shark finning, which I learned about, you know, they asked me to host some stuff on Shark Week and they sent me on a dive and it just blew my mind how much sharks were like dogs. I mean, I had everything that I believed fundamentally about sharks was completely wrong. And that it's rare that that happens where you have like a before and after moment in your life where everything you believed and then you do something, you're like, your whole foundation shifts. And then I found out we're killing 100 million of them a year. And now I've heard it's as high as 273 million. And you're like, how's that possible? 11,000 an hour. And sharks, then I learned take between 9 and 18 years to reach sexual maturity. They sort of reproduce like humans. They have about 7 or 8 offspring. I was like, they're all going to get killed. They're going to be gone. And so I started asking the scientists, like, when do you think this is irreversible? And they're like, this could happen within 10 years. They could be completely like irreversible. So I said, I want to at least make a movie investigating this. And it took me down this like 5-year journey where I realized the fins are just part of it. It's basically people were cutting off the fins and then throwing in the shark and the shark drowns. But so what happened was they said, well, you got to land the whole shark. But what that actually did was it created all these other horrible industries like shark cartilage pills, shark liver oil, meat that's sold in supermarkets to children in Florida, unlabeled as shark and has 32 times the mercury you're allowed to eat. Pregnant women eat it. Kids eat it. It's causing brain damage, impotence. Like it's all so bad. And there's so much money behind it. But basically, none of it is needed. And I just kept thinking, you know, 50 years ago, the whole world got together and said, we need to save whales. And then we did it for orcas with blackfish. And really, if we don't do it for sharks now, if we don't all say, this is insane, we have to stop the entire shark trade. There is no sustainable shark industry. It's a lie that's put out there by the fishing industry. They're going to be gone and our kids aren't going to have clean oceans. I mean, the ocean produces half our oxygen and the shark's function in nature is to keep the ocean clean. So the whole thing is just insane. I said, what can I do about it? I can put out basically a horror movie about it, but not even make it scary, just tell the facts as they really are.
Well, there's so many things that from a personal standpoint, I don't know if I told you this, but my son, Ash, has been interested in sharks basically since he was 2 years old. I actually even called my publicist at the time and said, you got to get this kid on the Tonight Show because he can name every type of shark. Nurse shark, Wollongong shark, cookie cutter shark, lemon shark, nurse shark. So we've always been kind of a shark-friendly household. Then, I don't even know if I've told you this, much like you, 2 or 3 years ago, we went and got certified. So he and I have been on 10 dives together.
Oh, I didn't know that. Have you gone diving with sharks?
Yes, we haven't gone diving with sharks, but we've seen sharks countless times. And the one thing that you pointed out that a lot of people don't know is sharks are cool as fuck.
I know.
Like they come by and it's, listen, you know.
Someone referred to them as the stoners of the sea. And they are. They're all like surfers. Like they're really chill and people don't believe it. And that's why in the documentary, I get in the water. I was in the water where they're throwing chum around me. I've been in the water with my hands sliced open. I went in with great whites. They're protected, so you have to go in with a cage. But with tiger sharks, nothing. And they are so cautious and so gentle. And they're never going to make the news if it's like, hey, shark did nothing today. It's like the news that's exciting is shark attack. And by the way, the fishing industry loves that. They want you to be terrified. They want everyone to be terrified of sharks so that everyone's sort of quietly okay with them being killed. But the truth is that sharks are very scared of us. I ask anyone, have you ever seen a shark in the water? They'll say no. But you've all been in the water with sharks and they've all seen you. They're just staying away because if you go up to a shark and you blow bubbles, the shark will freak out and swim away. Like they really get very scared of us. And when they bite, they're not eating you. They think it's a fish. Their function is to kill. They don't go after healthy fish. I looked at sharks and there were seals hanging on to the tail of the shark, just chilling and swimming around. The shark won't go for the healthy seal because the seal's too fast. But if a seal is injured, the great whites are ambush predators. So they get them when they're, you know, not looking. But mainly when a fish is sick or it's dying or it's flapping around, that's when a shark gets it. They've been around for 400 million years. They're like the perfect hunter. So they don't waste energy going after stuff unless they're certain they can catch it. But the truth is that it's like, look at, kids are so non-judgmental. Like look at the number one song in the world ever is that song Baby Shark. Now, that is about children relate to sharks as mommy shark, daddy shark. They see parents and kids. They don't see Maneater. They're like, that's a mother. And when I was making, the first day I was shooting, we got out in the boat in Mexico and the fisherman pulls up a Mako and I'm like, please let me buy it. He pulls out a baseball bat and beats it to death in front of me. I couldn't believe it. And then we go, and then we're in the boat and the smell was unlike, I had no frame of reference. It wasn't like a dead fish smell. It was a rotting dead shark. So, I mean, they were just all there. And then they cut one open and it was pregnant and they take out babies. Yeah. And the babies are probably 2 weeks. They're Makos, probably 2 weeks from coming into the world. And all I could think of was that stupid baby shark song. And I almost put it in the movie, but I didn't want it to seem like flippant. But
like
you're just
a joke.
Like,
yeah.
You're just like, this is a mother that was trying to give birth to its kids. They drop the line in and the shark bites it and then they're stuck and then they drown. And like, what are we doing? And then you go look at, and then they're sliced and the fin gets sold for $20 and that's the end of the shark. Then I go to the Bahamas where the sharks are protected and they've made close to $1 billion in shark dive tourism. Like you and Ash going to the Bahamas, they've estimated one single shark can earn $250,000 in tourism in its lifetime. So in Florida, you have, you know, it's the number one traded place for shark fin and Marco Rubio blocked it. So that's why now there's a whole thing of the Shark Fin Sales Elimination Act. If you go on finthemovie.com, I put a button right at the top going, write your rep, because it passed the Senate and it can pass the House. But if Florida flipped from killing sharks, which makes the shark fin industry basically makes $1 million a year for fishermen. The shark tourism, this is in Florida, tourism in Florida makes something like $250 million and it's sustainable and evergreen. So you're just like, why are we killing all of our sharks when if you get in the water with them, you can fall in love with them. You can see that they're not monsters. You fight to protect them and it's an evergreen. Like there's actually a gold mine. If you want to talk about making money, there's literally a dwindling supply that will be at zero in 5 to 10 years for all of the shark industry, or an evergreen industry that's actually great for the planet that gets everyone to care, that could generate billions in shark tourism. So it was incredible what I learned, but there's so much money that the fishing industry spends to buy off politicians and to buy off scientists. There were scientists I interviewed and someone's like, well, you know who pays for their lab? It's actually the fishing industry. That's why they're saying it's sustainable. I was like, oh, dude, it's so, their tentacles are so deep in that they've bought off everybody because they want to keep the industry of death going. But it's every country. It's not just China. It's basically every country sells their fins to China, sells them to Asia, kills them in soup. And there's, I mean, 300 different products that are sold on Amazon. FedEx, Federal Express is the only carrier that still ships shark. DHL and UPS stopped shipping shark fin. FedEx will not. There were petitions that WildAid started, that Oceans Asia started. Nope, FedEx is still shipping shark. So until everyone starts targeting FedEx going, why are you are making money off the death of a species that's going to affect us all. Basically, FedEx is getting rich. Amazon is getting rich. Vitamin Shop and GNC that are selling the shark cartilage pills, which are horrible for you and actually cause inflammation. And that's when we go into the movie. I found out, I was like, why is there this shark industry? Well, this guy wrote a book called Sharks Don't Get Cancer, which is complete nonsense. It's completely made up. The guy was not a scientist. He's like, Dr. So-and-so. Well, coincidentally, 2 weeks after his book comes out, he launched a line of shark pills. And in 1990, this wasn't a big deal. It's like, yeah, the sharks were doing fine. But really in the last 20 years, since China has gotten money, since people have gotten rich and they're spending, you know, they're spending it as this luxury item, that's when the sharks, in the last 20 years, like 2 billion sharks have been taken out of the water. And what really blew my mind was that the soup has no taste. And when I say no taste, I don't mean it's a taste that I don't like. It's like plastic. It's like fishing line or fingernail. It literally, it's cartilage. It's the same stuff that's in your fingernails. There is no taste to it. They have to soak it in chicken stock and pig stock just to even give it a flavor of some sort. But really, it's just the texture. And there's a vegetarian gelatin alternate that tastes identical. There's a plant-based one. Like, so the whole industry is just a big lie. And, you know, now there are these fishing tournaments that are in Florida. They happen in Texas, Mississippi. There was one. The one that's in the movie was happening again in Fairhaven, Massachusetts. People started complaining, going after them since Tuesday, since the movie came out. They canceled it. And now in Newburyport, Massachusetts, there's another one coming up on July 22nd. And people are going after them, going, why are you Bass Pro Shops? They advertise the New England Patriots on their site. Like, I don't know if the Patriots sponsor it or if they're just being used on the site or if they really know what it is. But basically, everyone makes it seem like it's this wholesome, fun family activity. And then if you complain about it, they go, well, you're going after fishermen's rights. It's like, these are doctors. Like, we're not eating this stuff. This is just trophy hunting. So basically no one wants to really acknowledge how bad it is because it means they'd have to change their behavior. And that's what we're really asking everyone to do, going, this isn't about, you know, this. And then they go, oh, you liberals, Hollywood. It's not about liberal, Republican. It's nothing. It's about the future of the ocean for our children. That's it. That's all this is. And we're just killing them all. And if we don't stop, they'll be gone. I mean, the problem will solve itself. In 10 years, there won't be anything left to even argue about. So that's why I made it.
Well, you touched on so many things there, but I want to kind of go back a bit and just kind of finish up. Like you said, sharks in the water, they're very curious, they're very cool. You had a great point that you show at the beginning on how the movie Jaws really was a death sentence for sharks to this day. The way that they portrayed that great white, people were terrified of sharks and think that if you go in the water, sharks will just come and eat you. I mean, it's amazing how that has affected the psyche of our entire generation just from this 1 2-hour movie that was made almost 50 years ago, 45 years ago.
We are the Jaws generation, and the Jaws generation has to be the one that go, that was just a movie. The thing is, in 1970, first of all, Peter Benchley, who wrote the book, we almost put this quote in the movie. He said, if I had known the damage my book would have caused to sharks, I never would have written it. He said that at the end of his life, because I regret writing the book. If I knew the damage this would cause to sharks. Now, I don't think we can blame Jaws, because at the time, no one was making money from killing sharks. It was just, you kill a shark. They were terrifying because of that movie. However, once the industry started and people started realizing that they could make money from killing sharks, they were more than happy to push that image out there and push the image of the shark as terrifying, because then everyone's like, good, less sharks in the water. It's better for us. We won't get eaten. Sharks don't eat. I mean, 7 people a year die from a shark bite, and the shark isn't eating you. It thinks you're a fish and then releases. More people are killed by vending machines from like getting a Coke and the thing goes, slams, the machine crushes the door. It's like 36 people a year. More people, like 150 people a year are killed from armed 3-year-olds. You are more likely to get shot by a 2-year-old than a shark. I mean, there's so many stats that you're just like, really? Like, it's not going to happen. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm saying it's not tragic when it does, but it doesn't mean we should eradicate the species. It's like, oh, I got stung by a bee. Let's kill all the bees. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
So it's really interesting how Jaws, but I make a point to say that it's not Jaws. It's that we all go into the health store and we see shark cartilage pills and we put them back on the shelf without telling the manager, why are you selling this? Like, that's what's killing it, is that we all sort of tacitly let it happen because nobody knows it's bad, because the fishing industry has spent hundreds of millions of dollars to make us, they've socially engineered all of us to be terrified of sharks and to think that there's no problem and that populations are healthy and it's totally sustainable. It's like the tobacco industry. Like, remember in the 50s when they were like, have a cigarette after dinner, it's good and healthy. And then remember too, when we were teenagers, remember having to request the non-smoking section of an airplane?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, and if you had to go in the bathroom in the back, you had to walk past 6 rows of people smoking. This was on a commercial airline. So, like, we forget that Pac-Man machines had ashtrays built into them.
Right.
Like,
when
you watched the kid that was awesome at Donkey Kong, you were like a little kid. You were just ingesting the cigarette smoke. So, we think back now that that behavior is so insane. But at the time, it was normal. Hopefully, a few years from now, we can look back and go, how is it possible that we were eating shark as some sort of health product when it's so bad for us and, you know, even worse for them? So I just think that now it's like we have to acknowledge that Jaws is just a movie, and that's fine. And I think everyone, what's cool is that Joe Romero, everyone that I've met that's into sharks is into sharks because of Jaws. Like, I say it in the movie, I was terrified of them. But now I think, We didn't have social media back then. We didn't have YouTube. We didn't have Instagram. We didn't follow other shark activist influencers. We didn't have Ocean Ramsey or Shark Girl Madison. Now I think we're all smart enough to know that that is a movie which we can enjoy and love. It's one of the greatest movies of all time, which I still do. But really also see that the real dark side is that there's this entire industry that's going on, that FedEx, that airlines, United Airlines is still shipping shark. Why? I mean, why don't we all say, what are you doing? Stop shipping shark. Because the shark has to move somewhere. Maersk carriers said they stopped shipping shark. Like, China Air doesn't ship shark. There's a lot of airlines that are like, we won't do it. Even the government of China is like, we're going to stop serving shark at you know, official dinners. So like when the Chinese government stopped, it's really, it was Jackie Chan and Wild Aid and Yao Ming and a lot of people spoke up. Yeah. The younger generation in China is very against it. It's not a Chinese problem. It's the older people in China that are doing it as a status symbol. But a lot of young people say, we absolutely refuse to have it at our wedding. We won't eat it. So there's a very conscientious group of, you know, our generation there. But, you know, there's still a lot of money being made. I just think people need to be, it's incredible what can happen just on Twitter and Instagram going at these companies. I mean, they really panic about boycotts. So people don't realize the power they have, and they're starting to. Like when we got that canceled, right. we got that tournament canceled in less than 12 hours. Everyone just went after them and went after the sponsors. Every sponsor wrote me back going, we're pulling out. We have nothing to do with this. We watched your movie. We're not doing it. And they were gone, and their Facebook page deleted. They were, and then even the Newburyport one shut their comments. They shut their website. And now I have people writing me going, please, it's only catch and release. Like catch and release. Really? You're going to drag an animal 40 miles an hour on a hook and they're going to be fine. Like the, when you catch a shark and turn it upside down, its stomach distends, it vomits its guts out. You can throw it back. Oh, wow. They drown. Like most of the sharks, first, they're not scientists. I'm not saying fishermen don't know how to catch a shark, but like I have marine biologists like Neil Hammerschlag and Boris Worm, like the experts that I interviewed, they know how to go in the water, bring in a shark, have the net, have a team, tag it, release it, special hooks that, you know, that won't get stuck in the mouth, but they can do it. Tag, like if you're a scientist that studies these animals, you can tag a shark. Having these people, the boats catching them, they're like, well, only five died last year. It's like, the ones they're catching are the ones of breeding age. You're only killing the ones that are large enough and old enough to possibly have offspring. And you're setting an example that this is family fun. Like, and then they go, well, we gave the meat to a homeless shelter, which they can't because you need a license to do that. You get, and by the way, I watched it last year. These guys were like, I go, what do you do with the meat? They go, we give it to the homeless. I'm like, really? So you're in a homeless shelter and they bring this like rotting dead mako that's been sitting in the concrete. And they're like, here you go. Here's dinner, guys. Eat up. It's this poisonous, disgusting, rotted fish. And of course, you can't even do that. You can donate food. You can't give meat to a homeless shelter unless it's been tested and you have a license to do that. Most of it, it's thrown out or turned into fertilizer. Like there's trucks where they're like, yeah, we just give it to a fertilizer company. We just chop it up. It's like the whole thing is, the whole idea is that we need to say, they're not our toys. It's not cool like to brag about getting a 13-foot tiger shark out of the water because you look cool. It's everybody just wants to look cool on Facebook, which is sad in and of itself because right. they're fucking boomers. They still think Facebook's cool, but they're literally doing it on Facebook.
And the tournament is that they're pulling the sharks out of the water. Explain exactly what the tournament is. It's like a fishing tournament?
It's a fishing tournament of who can catch the largest shark. Now, they say, well, we throw the babies back. But really, Joe Romero, these guys have been out on the boats. They're like, they're catching babies and beating them with a baseball bat and throwing them back in. I mean, catch a shark safely, get the hook out of its mouth, throw it back in the water. Good luck with that. With no one policing you out in the middle of the water, not happening.
Well, the things are hanging there too. There's no way they're still alive when they're hanging there. They're not alive.
No, the kids are taking
pictures of them.
They're kill tournaments. That's what they are. They're killing sharks. And then what they do, here's what they do. There's the organization NOAA, N-O-A-A, which is doing all the ocean, the government organization doing all the ocean studies. They'll invite the scientists from NOAA and say, hey, we're doing a kill tournament. Do you want to come and just take the samples of the shark and get your measurements and see the boat? And so the NOAA scientists are like, well, they're killing them anyways. We're not catching them. Let's just might as well get some use out of it. It's like when, you know, remember when the Nazis were like, well, it's like NASA used the data from the Nazis before they sent up astronauts. Like, well, they did these experiments on people. Might as well. It's like they invite the NOAA scientists and then they go, look, it's for science. See, NOAA's here. So NOAA is getting used by these tournaments to sanction this horrible, like it's devastating. And you know who loses out? We do. The sharks don't belong to them. Sharks don't belong to fishermen. Sharks don't belong to anyone. They're your sharks. They're my sharks. Everyone that's listening, they are your sharks. And they are none of our sharks. They belong in the water and they belong to everybody and they belong to nobody. So the idea that these people are pulling our best wildlife out of the water to take a photo with them and then give each other $1,000 and say, yay, it's for science, is totally absurd. And you now have, it's become like a local activity. So when you complain about it, they're like, well, you're against fishermen, you're against the community. They pull out all those old tropes. But my point is, none of this is for food. You're doing this for fun. And this has to stop because it's devastating. I mean, they have in Montauk, they have Mako Mania that's going on. They're in Montauk. There's the Star Tournament. I mean, you have 150 boats out in the water for 5 days killing sharks of who can win the best. It's like, and this is every single weekend. So when all up and down the East Coast, Massachusetts, New Jersey, down to Galveston, Texas, Mississippi, Macomania, it's just, it's all got to stop. So what I want to do is really start organizing all the fans and just go tournament by tournament, just going to the sponsors and going to the towns and going, how can you allow this? Like, this isn't okay. We all, basically, we just have to say, you know what? 50 years ago, we saved whales. Like we had orcas in SeaWorld because we thought it was a fun thing to do until someone made blackfish and we went, oh my God, this is insane. Like, orcas are these like incredible, smart, beautiful, sensitive animals, and we're putting them in tanks for our entertainment to make them do tricks. Like, what are we? The circus stopped because we're like, we're taking these animals and making them do tricks to entertain us. Like, at a certain point, we have to go, you know what? We have cell phones, we have video games, we have social media. We can entertain ourselves in a lot of different ways. There's a lot of things you can do outdoors other than killing sharks, and our lives will still be very fulfilled. So it's just a matter of, you know, getting people to, you can't vilify people because they don't know. It's just sort of getting them to under, I mean, that's the point of, the other point of the movie is I don't go after fishermen. I don't go after going, how could you do this? It's like, I sit down with the shark traders in China. I'm like, where do you think this ends? Like, this isn't, there's a dwindling supply here. Like, what are you going to do when this is over? And they, and it's interesting. They all blame, they go, well, if you still cut, if you stop the finning, they'll still take the liver oil. And liver oil people are like, well, we're just getting the liver oil because they're finning. And then the thing, they're like, well, they're still taking the meat. And the meat people are like, yeah, but I mean, they took the liver oil and the fins. What else are we going to do? And the cartilage people are like, look, they're taking the liver oil, the meat, the fins. We're just getting the cartilage. Like, everyone has their, you know, everyone's hands are dirty and they're all just pointing the finger at each other. So that's why it's, it is this whole thing. And the tournaments are another component of that, of all weekend, all summer. I mean, I went out in the North Atlantic for 2 days at high season, chumming the waters, and we didn't see a single shark. Now, that could be a coincidence, but the driver of the boat was like, it's never happened before. He's like, this used to be, you'd see like 50 sharks a day. He goes, you don't see no sharks. This is migration season. He's like, something's going on. I don't know what to tell you. We're sitting on a boat, chumming the water for hours, and there's nothing. And that's what's happened is the boats are going out. Day two, there's no sharks. It's like, why do you think? And then they go, oh, it's no problem. It's sustainable. It's catch and release. It's all terrible. So until people really start to speak up, it's just going to keep happening.
When you talk about, you mentioned the shark fin soup and how I thought it was interesting how it's kind of a Chinese tradition for weddings because that's what the emperor used to eat. So it was a status symbol. Even though it tastes like shit and even though it's ridiculous, having it meant that you had some money. Or something along those lines.
Well, what's crazy, I really dug into that because I was like, where does this come from? And this was in the year 800. The emperor said, I'm going to eat a shark because the shark was the fastest, strongest animal. And I'm going to show that I'm stronger than a shark. So basically, this happened around the year 800. In the 1960s, the hotels in China were like, what if we start serving shark fin soup to get people to come and do your wedding at our hotel, because we serve shark fin soup and you can eat like the emperor. It was literally a marketing gimmick from the 60s. It's like in the 1930s when the sugar got really threatened, or in the 70s when they got really threatened, the sugar industry, you know, that book, The Case Against Sugar, they talk about how the sugar lobbyists got together and they created Valentine's Day to sell candy and they started using sweetie sugar, giving chocolate.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sugar got co-opted into romance, that there was a huge propaganda of honey, sweetie, sugar, that like, let's merge sugar and dating instead. Everyone associates chocolate and romance. That was like an actual marketing ploy by the sugar industry. So we realized that like, then that was in like the 60s and it wasn't really a problem. But basically what happened is after World War II, all of the military vessels got turned into fishing vessels. So they had this explosive power that they never had before, where you could just wipe out colonies because all of these ships that were warships got converted to fishing ships. Well, this wasn't really a problem until the 90s and the 2000s when China really became an economic power and people started getting money and they started demanding the shark fin soup and it cost $100 a bowl and they'd have it at a wedding to go, look how much money I have. It's like the tabuada trade in, you know, in Mexico, where they have like the bladder of this one fish, there's only 15 of them left, is more valuable than cocaine because someone's like, it has properties that like make you, you know, super potent. It's like insanity. It's actual insanity.
Right,
fish started as a marketing gimmick and then people started doing it and then it caught on. It's like, well, I want to eat the shark fin soup, even though it's actually causes dementia and impotence. Like we show that to get it to look clean, they have to scrub it with, first of all, Gary Stokes at Oceans Asia put out his new campaign that's out, if you go on his Instagram, called Gutter Food, where we went there and we looked and the fins were lying out in the street, like in dog shit and cigarettes. The same ones. It's like they take them on rooftops, they dry them in the street, like it's like literally in the gutter, dogs pissing on them. Yeah. Then they take them and they scrub them with bleach, like actual same bleach you'd clean your toilet with and clean your clothes with. Same thing with scrub. Then it's like rehydrated and dehydrated, and then it's put in soaked with pork stock. And then people are like, oh, the texture is great. It doesn't even have taste. It's like, it's so basically this thing that started as a status symbol has turned, it's like, it's maintained this symbol for older people to be like, look how rich I am. I mean, that's literally what it is. And everyone else in the world is like, ooh, let's sell our fins to them because they're dumb enough to spend money on it. Now, the young people in China are going, this is insane. We don't want to be associated with this. We refuse to eat it. We're very against it. We speak out against it. A lot of celebrities, Jackie Chan, Yao Ming, there's a lot of people that have come out, you know, Chinese and Hong Kong stars that have said no more shark. But the industry is making so much money and they're so powerful. The fishing lobby, they bought off the EU. That's when I found out these illegal fishing vessels will go into Africa and suck up. They go where they can't really get caught and they just suck up all of the fish. They're from Spain. There's kind of these Spanish mafia run boats. They call them the Galician Mafia. And then I found out that the EU is part of it. The EU is subsidizing the fuel. EU is just giving, they're like, well, everybody needs fish. So just we'll give them money for fuel and they'll go in and suck up everything. I mean, the whole thing is so corrupt. It just makes you feel helpless until you start using your voice. And then you realize that, you know, there is power in numbers and that the only way this is going to change is if we vote with our dollars, really. That's what it comes down to.
You, and I know you from your films of the past, and I know you as a person, you, on purpose, I'm assuming, kept showing these fins get cut off the shark. Cut. And it burns into your brain. It's like you could have shown it once or twice and you get the point, but you keep hammering this fin getting cut off. The shark getting thrown back in with no fins. It's a brutal image. It's very, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for, but it really leaves its mark when you see that. It's disturbing. That's the word. It's very disturbing. And like I said, it really tattoos my memory about this movie.
Well, thank you. I mean, look, I didn't want to, you know, make the safe version of the movie. You know, I like being provocative and pushing buttons in my horror films. And I always wanted to, my own dream is always to make the movie go where you go, oh, I couldn't watch that. That was too gross. Like, you know, we wanted to have the Bloodsucking Freaks moment where you come to school and go, oh, they drill the brains and suck the straw. Like that was my goal, was to basically create that. But then as I was doing the movie, you know, I completely lost objectivity on what's too much. I mean, that's, you know, 2 or 3 years of editing the film to get the balance right. I still don't know if I got it right, but it was actually Leonardo DiCaprio who's like, you have to cut back on. He goes, it's got to be one thing of being informative and nobody wants to watch animal cruelty and animal abuse. He goes, you got to show it. But if you just go, he goes, a little of it goes such a long way. So this was like the cut down version of what I had. But there's one image in the movie that was the most shocking thing I'd ever seen. And that's a whale shark that's being just sliced down the middle while it's still alive. And they cut it open, you see its mouth and you see its eyes and all these people are cheering it on. And there's two people with like, it's like they're chopping down a tree.
Oh, it's terrible.
And then
it's
the water spills out. I was like, that to me. And then seeing this, but then there's the seal pup. And the thing is, sharks don't have faces. Like there's the one image of the seal pup caught in the net that everyone remembers. They're like, oh my God, because it has a face. You can't relate to a shark's emotions. You can't read its expression because they're communicating so differently. They like move in little mouth gapes. That's how they talk to each other and the way their fins move. That's how you can tell. So you're never going to read, you know, it's hard to read fear on a shark's face. So that's why it's like a snake. You know, we don't relate to reptiles or sharks because they don't express the things. Like we could see a monkey or a giraffe or an elephant and really understand its emotions, but a shark, you can't. So that one image, I was like, this is the most awful thing I've ever seen, but people have to know that like, that this is what's happening. This is what people are doing. And that these are mothers. These are like animals trying to survive in the wild that don't want anything to do. And their actual function in nature is to keep the ocean healthy for us. It's like without them, the algae blooms, we won't go in the water. The algae blooms, you can't recover from the algae blooms. When you take out the sharks, it is like the wolves in Yellowstone. The trophic cascade effect is that they eat the grouper, which eat the parrotfish, which eat the algae. And if without them, the algae just starts exploding. The algae blocks the kelp, which is making our oxygen. So it's literally blocking it from the sunlight, from it getting out. And it makes the water's acidic, so you can't swim in it. Life can't survive in it. It's just like when you take sharks out of the water, everything starts to turn to acid. And
right.
we're not going to go in the water. I mean, look what's happening in Mexico with Sargasso, you know, beautiful beaches in Tulum. I'm not saying it's because there's no shark, but they are killing all of their sharks. Like, we're messing up the ecosystem by taking, and it's like, for what? You know, I mean, I remember when they killed whales, it was for whale fat for oil. And it's Captain Paul Watson who said that it was really, it wasn't because people felt bad for whales. It was kerosene that saved the whales because people had another way to get oil. But there really is no, there's no reason to have a shark out of the water. None. It's just someone's getting rich off of it. So I know that it's disturbing, but I also wanted to make a movie that people would say, don't watch it. It's too tough. I wanted people to be a little bit afraid to watch it.
Yeah, of course.
I didn't want to make a movie going, hey, watch this. It feels good. It's tough. It's like, this is awful. And if we're going to deal with it, let's deal with it. Let's be adults. Let's not be children about it and go, oh, this offends me. It's like, this is awful, but I'm putting it out there just because I'm not going to not show it. This is what's happening. I don't want the PG version of this movie. I don't think it's effective. I think it has to be burned in your brain for people to never forget it, to go. It's like that one image you see of an animal as a kid, or like a dog getting strangled, getting choked. And there's something we've all seen where you like walk by that one house with a person and their dog tied up in the thing. And it just upset you so much. Like, you have to see that stuff in order to, you know, I want people to take action and write their reps and go, you know, why are we doing this? I want people to go into health food stores and going, why are you selling shark pills? Can you not sell that? I want people to go FedEx and going, why are you shipping shark? I want people to actually go, wait a minute, all I have to do is say something. That's all I have to do is say something. Literally, and this can stop if we just say something. And then, and they want us to feel stupid. They want us to say, oh, you're a crazy liberal, or oh, you're a crazy this, you're a crazy that. Stay in your lane. That I hear a lot. Stay in your lane. It's like, well, the ocean, right. The planet is all of our lane. That's what they want to say. Like, you can't let people, they're very threatened. There's a lot of money at stake here. And when you start speaking out against it, people are going to really attack you because you're changing their way of life. But we just all have to say, like, this is for our future. This is for the future of our children. Like, kids love sharks and we want them to be able to grow up with them and have healthy oceans and have oxygen. Like, that's not such a crazy request.
Yeah, right, right, right. It's interesting too, because I flashed back to Cannibal Holocaust a couple times where you saw those scenes, because it was a very Cannibal Holocaust.
So I used the music
moment here and there. That's right. Yes, I saw that in the credits.
I used the music in the Boston Shark Tournament. We had Nathan Barr, who's done all my composer of my films, wrote a beautiful cue. But we contacted Riz Ortolani, the composer, his family, and we asked him for permission. And we got it at the last minute. We showed them the documentary, and they gave us like special permission to use it. I was like, what else could I do? That's a nod to my horror roots. Everybody knows I made The Green Inferno. Everybody knows I love Ruggiero Deodato and Cannibal Holocaust, which is, by the way, the worst animal killing ever in a movie.
Terrible. It's a hard to watch. I just rewatched it a couple weeks ago.
Oh, God, it's
terrible.
Brutal. And yet, it's still an amazing film. I condone that, but I still watch the movie. And it's interesting talking about Ruggiero and his time and what that was like. But I used that music because I was like, there is no other music. That, for me, it's just like this haunting, sort of beautiful, kind of otherworldly sound. I love that cue from Riz Ortolani, and I used it of them. It's like, this is modern day Cannibal. As shocked as people were by Cannibal Holocaust, they should be. It's like, we're still doing it.
Even more.
You
shocked,
think the animal killing it? You think the animal killing Cannibal Holocaust was bad? Well, it's happening in your hometown right now, and all these restaurants are sponsoring it, and they're doing it as a family event in a public dock. So you might want to say something.
The last three documentaries I've watched, out of pure coincidence, was Kid 90, Soleil Moon Frye's movie.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this really good. The Loneliest Whale, Josh Zeman, and then Eli Roth, Finn. All of them have one thing in common. They're all produced or executive produced by Leonardo DiCaprio, which just blew my mind because I had no idea until I watched all three. It's DiCaprio, it's DiCaprio, it's DiCaprio. What was his involvement in Finn, and how closely did you work with him, if at all?
Well, very closely. He really is an amazing person. You know, I mean, as you know, the whole thing of him being an activist, an environmentalist, like, his passion is real. He's as real as it gets. Like, he's a very rare person. I mean, I've been in Hollywood 20 years now, and I've met pretty much everybody. And there's a very short list of people that are that level of fame, that are that good-hearted and that conscientious and that, like, actually caring and put their money where their mouth is and raise the money for the environment and really do it. And he cares. Like, he really cares about animals. He cares about the planet. And he has a company called Appian Way. And Philip Watson and Jennifer Davison, who run his documentary division, you know, he's, like, if you saw Sea of Shadows, like, Leo is amazing because his name opens doors. He has a deal at Apple and Nat Geo where he can get documentaries. Like, once DiCaprio's involved, everyone pays attention to it in a different way. And he really kind of brings that level. You know that it's serious, that it's real, that it's like real science involved. And he genuinely, like, he for 17 years has been wanting to make a movie about sharks. And, you know, we both, you know, met through a mutual friend, and we sort of had the Quentin connection and other things, but we really kind of bonded over shark diving and our love of sharks. And everyone saying, oh, you're crazy, you're going in the water with those sharks. But he's been in the water for years with sharks, and he's wanted to make a movie. And I showed him, I have VR footage of the shark kill tournament in Boston. And I put him in the headset, and he got so upset. And he's like, whatever you need, whatever you need. And I said, you know, if you come on to exec produce the doc with me, everyone will pay attention in a different way. And also people, you know, Nina Dobrev came on board, and she's a massive, massive fan base. And Michael Muller, the photographer. And once we had Leo involved, everyone just sort of pays attention to it in a different way. He watched the edits. He watched the cuts. He had fantastic notes. You know, he was really impressed. He's like, you really did it. He's like, you went into Africa on one of those shark fishing boats into incredibly dangerous situations, and you got in the water with the sharks to show how intelligent and curious and shy and smart they are. Like, how it's like, you really did it. Like, you didn't just narrate a movie. You didn't just collect some footage. You didn't just go to one trip. Like, you went all over the world. So, you know, everyone, none of us did this. Like, everyone's doing this for charity. We're all like doing, you know, our day job is he's a movie star and I'll make direct my movies, but right. But our passion is this. And, you know, what's great is when you are in a position where you can use whatever Hollywood weight or clout you have to get funding and to get the message out there, you know, that's what's really satisfying. And so Leo, you know, and then he puts it on his Instagram and has 50 million people. So when Leo, you know, when Leo puts it out there, people really pay attention to it. In the same way that Nina Dobrev has 25 million followers, but they're completely different from Leo's. And they're all suddenly waking up. They're like, oh my God, Nina, they'll watch it because Nina's involved. And Nina was incredible too. She loves sharks with a passion. She's been acting on Vampire Diaries, but it just launched a production company. This is one of her first productions. And, you know, Nina being involved really, really got incredible attention to it. And Nina's watching the edits and she's making her notes. I mean, I basically made an open project. I wasn't like, this is my thing. I'm the director. It was like, everybody, we need help. Who can help us? Who do you know? Okay, let me call that person. Oh, you know Ocean Ramsey? Ocean, film yourself for an interview for me. Great, got it. Can I have that footage of you diving with the shark? Thanks. Okay, yeah, you just send it by WeTransfer. All right, it's in the edit. Like, it was literally that kind of a movie of us just making phone calls, asking, okay, what footage do you have? Can we have that footage? Like, oh, great, Sea Shepherd's on. Wild Days on. I basically made an open project for anyone who wanted to participate. So I'd love to continue it. I'd love to continue it with the series. I'd love to do follow-ups following this around. Like, this issue isn't going away. And I want the people that are still making money off the death of sharks to know that I'm not stopping, that this is the beginning of something. That Finn That's will awesome. Lay the groundwork, and that it's not like there'll be a Finn 2, Finn 3, Finn 4. Like, I will do as many documentaries and as many short pieces, as many follow-ups as it takes, until there's a critical mass of other people doing it and realizing that we have to put a stop to this. So for me, Finn is strangely just the beginning. It's I always wanted to make a shark movie. Like, I want to make Jaws 4, you know, 5, or I want to make The Meg. I want to make a shark movie.
The Meg.
And like, I wound up making a shark movie just completely not the way I thought. It's like the way you became a rock star. Like, you always wanted to be a rock star, but you went by way of wrestling through fake band that turned into real band that became bestseller through, like, you know, the way you got there, it's just not in the way you expected, but it's of course the only way it could have happened. Cause it's like, you know, I've certainly admired everything you've done, Chris, and writing the books and recording the albums and wrestling and your podcast. And you're so interested in the world and in other people and in ideas and in learning and changing and evolving. And what I loved about everything you do is you do it with such a great sense of humor that it's like all done with like a great sense of like self-awareness and a light touch. And it really makes it accessible to everyone. So I really thought about you while I was doing this, thinking like, I don't want to just be in the box of the guy making the horror movie. That's why I'll try acting. Right. That's why I'll try producing. Then I'm going to try making a documentary. Now I'll write a book or something. Like, it's really seeing kind of what you've done has been really, really admirable, but also really inspiring. So in a strange way, the way you've just kind of continually done your thing and constantly surprised everybody. And when you think you're at your level that people aren't going to doubt you, and yet then they still do. And then the list of Jared,
they still
you know,
do, yeah.
They still do. And it's like with me, they're like, they're done. I mean, the amount of people, like, you know, Netflix rejected the movie, Amazon rejected the movie, Apple rejected the movie. They're like, we don't want your documentary. Sundance rejected it. And then Discovery Plus is like, are you kidding me? This is amazing. And then people went out and they're like, we love it. We love it. We love it. Now it seems like a no-brainer. But all those other companies were like, we're not doing this. They all passed on the movie. All of them. And Discovery loved it.
Right?
Discovery's the only home because it started there and it finished there. But yeah, but it's amazing. You think of people like, well, why isn't it on Netflix? Why isn't it on Amazon? Why is it on Apple? Why is it on Nat Geo? I'll tell you why. They all rejected the movie. All of them. Netflix said, we have Seaspiracy. We don't want you. You or Leo? Nah. Nat Geo? Well, we have Valerie Taylor's movie. Nah. Amazon? It's not for us. Maybe because Amazon sells 300 different types of shark products. I don't know.
Right.
Or maybe they didn't like it. Or maybe their boss was like, no. We don't want you anything that talks about shark.
Yeah, no sniffing around. Yeah.
I have no idea. Or maybe they just hated it. But Discovery was like, we want this for our streaming service, Discovery Plus. And everyone's like, well, I don't have it. Well, if you really want to see it, you can probably sign up for the 7-day free trial and then just cancel if you don't want it. Like,
it's $4 a month. It's not bad.
It's not bad. It's like a cup of coffee. So the truth is, it's like, if you really want, I love that it's on Discovery because it's hitting the right people. The people that are watching it are the people that love sharks. It's the Shark Week fans. And I kind of like that it's a little bit harder to find, that it's not so easy to get to, that everyone's talking about it. And you can't just turn on Netflix and watch it. You got to go to Discovery, and yeah, maybe you have to sign up for it for a week and maybe you might like it. So Discovery's been an amazing partner. You know, I'm really, really thankful that it's that the movie landed there. But it's interesting that even at our level, people are still going to doubt you and reject you and go, no way.
Absolutely. I mentioned it earlier on, the Herzog kind of connection. Let's talk about some of the more dangerous moments of the movie. Or there's two that I really want to discuss. First of all, is when you're going to China and going into the Finn shops and nobody will let you film. And then finally somebody lets you film. Just talk about that flow, because I found it very strange that there was such a reaction to a camera into a shop that has thousands of these dried up shark fins for sale.
They know the end is coming. And in fact, one of the guy that hits us, Gary Stokes, is incredible. He was with Sea Shepherd. Now
he was awesome.
He's the best. Now he's in Hong Kong now. He is. Oh, you can follow him at Oceans Asia or Gary Stokes Photo. Total badass. And he's been in the Wing Lok District, in Wing Lok Street, in the Shen Wan District of Hong Kong. And he's like, I'm going to take you to the traders. He's like, all the sharks in the world are killed. And then they go to the traders and they're sold within this 3-block radius. And you just see bags. Like the way you'd walk by a laundromat and see bags and bags of laundry, and it's just shark fin. It's just dead shark in there. I mean, they had great whites, they had tiger, all the stuff you're not supposed to sell. And by the way, who can tell what they are? That's the point. It's like, what is this?
Right.
And the guy's like, that's a tiger shark. That's a tiger shark. And then the other guy comes, that's a hammerhead. And they're all endangered. CITES is like the Convention for International Trade in Endangered Species. But they're all supposed to, you're not supposed to trade it, or you can land it. Its problem is that it's all such bullshit. Like, basically, they have these rules to try and protect endangered trade, but none of it really works because 1% of the shipping containers are tested. And then we go into the stores and they just see a camera, and I did a hidden camera on my shirt and I act like a tourist and I start taking pictures and they go, no photo, no photo. And then they come out and they start like hitting your camera. And it's like, you know, an old, you know, Chinese, but you're not going to hit back. You just go, oh, okay, sorry, sorry, sorry. But we're like, why are they? And the best was like one guy just starts shutting the metal door. And we're like, do you want to talk to anyone on camera? We're like, wow. And they literally will see you and push the button and shut the metal gate, the steel gate. So you can't even look in the window. They shut down for the day because they're so afraid of cameras. And in fact, the one guy who like hits Gary, like really punches in, he's like, don't touch me. We called him Mr. Happy. Gary's like, you're going to love this guy because this guy goes extra crazy. So as soon as we step, he goes, no. Then we saw his whole thing. So yesterday I got a sign that said he's going out of business. So what was crazy is we go into one store and the guy lets us film and he starts going, those are hammerheads, all these endangered sharks. And then another guy comes in. And he's going, no, that's all blue shark, which is the one you're allowed to trade, which is still threatened and endangered. Doesn't make it any better. It's a blue shark. So then I go, this guy's from the head. He's the president of the Shark Traders Association. And I was like, that's the guy who came in. And I go, how did he know? It's like every other store owner is like, there's a guy in there with a camera.
Wow.
They tip him off. And the guy got right over there to start saying, no, these are endangered. And so I asked him, we're like, well, does that guy want to sit down for an interview? And he said, yes. So I sat down with him and I was like, and they brought us lunch. Like, I was like, I'm not going to come at you going, how that, I was like, I just need to understand, how is this going to survive? There's nothing left. And they're like, do you know what China eats? You know what happens to the 99% of the pig's feet and chicken feet in the world that goes to China? Cause we eat it, all the food that you don't want in America. And I was like, okay, I get it. I get it. I get your point. I understand. what are you going to do when they're gone? And they're like, well, it's not a problem. There's plenty of them. And they go, if we eat this, we take the sharks out, there'll be more fish because sharks eat all the fish, which is not true. Sharks eat once a month. Like,
so stupid.
I was like, it's like a Dr. Seuss drawing. I was like, right. That's not true. And then they go, and I go, well, what about the other products? Like, they go, well, if we stop finning, they'd still get killed anyways because of the liver oil and the meat and the other things. And I just was like, they sat down with me on camera and I said, why would they? I asked Gary, I was like, why would they do that? Gary's been there for 5 years. They've never talked to him. That's the first time he ever spoke to them. And they know about him. And he goes, well, they want their side of the story out there. And I was like, that's fair. I want to make a movie that puts their side out there. I don't want it to be, I mean, it is, the movie's already one-sided enough. I want to know, when you ask these people, like, what are you going to do when they're gone? There's just the total denial that there's a problem. They're like, it's fine. There's nothing wrong. But they, and then one guy, the guy looked at me, he goes, I saw you on Shark Week. I know exactly who you are. I was like, wow. Oh. Like, the shark traders are watching Shark Week.
Right.
They know. So the writing's on the wall. And what's great is, hopefully, I mean, look, Hong Kong has its own problems right now. But if people are in Hong Kong and they go to Wing Luxury, if everyone just goes there with cameras and starts filming these people, I mean, really, basically, we can put them on camera, but the only way this stops is if people stop buying. If the fin becomes worthless because no one wants to buy it, that's the only way this ends. They'll stop killing them. The fishermen don't care. It's not personal against sharks. They're just like, oh, the fins sell. But if the fins didn't sell, they would fish something else.
So China has so many people, though, a billion people, whatever it may be. There's going to have to be a massive change in their entire culture. Like, I mean, the Jackie Chans, the Yao Mings, is that enough to kind of influence the 50 and under so that when the 60s and 70s and 80-year-olds die, then it's over? Or how does it end?
Well, there's such a small percentage of people in China that can buy the fins. You have to be rich to buy it.
Can buy them.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
It's $125 a bowl. So this isn't like, that's the perception, is they go, well, you're attacking their culture. It's like, you're not. This is like saying, it's like ordering Cristal or Dom Perignon. You know, it's like such a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage
right.
of the people right. of China that are eating the shark. It's all going there. I mean, yeah, there's 1.2 billion people there, so it's a lot. But the people, most of the people in China don't eat shark, or they don't want it. I mean, the younger people certainly, you know, anyone under 40, it's like crazy to eat shark. They're very, very against it, very vocal against it. It's going to take that generation convincing their parents, and it's going to take the wedding, the hotel chains. Like, there are hotel chains that refuse to serve shark, and they basically, their point was, if you serve a nice lobster dish, that's good enough. It's not that people want shark. People just want to be treated nice. They want right. elegance. They want to feel like they're special. So you can give them a really expensive mushroom dish, and they'll get the same experience. That's what they actually want. It's not that they want to eat shark. They want to be told, you're important and I spent a lot of right. money on you. And you can do that with a mushroom dish or a lobster dish. It's fine. It's like they don't really care about eating shark because it's a terrible ingredient. It tastes awful. It's just they're eating it out of some sort of weird social pressure because it's expensive. It's so strange. But now that we're starting to see the health effects of it, maybe they'll think twice.
Another amazing moment in the movie is when you actually are – you board this fishing boat that looks like it used to be an army boat, and there's shots going off and there's chaos going on. It's like something out of Captain Phillips or something. Tell me about that.
Well, that was a pretty crazy day of, I wouldn't call it reckless filmmaking or journalism, but I knew the only way I was going to get on this boat was if we just went with cameras. And this is a boat called the Libico 2. It is a notorious poaching vessel. It has been arrested before, and Sea Shepherd and the Liberian Coast Guard, with the help of Israeli special forces, they started arresting these poaching vessels because the US military was not doing anything helping out Liberia. So they got this boat, and you couldn't tell who owned it. There's this mysterious chain of title. It's a shell company in Portugal. There's no flag, and then it's owned by a company in Portugal, but it's really owned by a company in Spain. They'll set up like five shell companies because it's an illegal boat, and it's a pirate boat. It's what happens is the people that are on board will get, like, they'll go to Africa and get these very poor fishermen and say, come on the boat, we'll pay you. They keep them on the boat for 3 years at sea. And then if the people complain and they want money, they throw them overboard and they kill them. So it actually becomes human. It's human trafficking.
Wow.
So the fishermen that are on the boat aren't like corrupt Spanish. It's the only one person getting rich is the person who owns the boat. The captain is a French guy who's like kind of a shifty dude, but he's just there they're all just basically making a living going out and stealing the fish, but like they're sucking up the sharks. In 18 days, they could take out 60,000 sharks out of the water. Gosh. So they've been sitting there for 6 months, probably 100 degrees in the port in Monrovia, Liberia. And the Sea Shepherd found out that we were making this documentary. They got involved. They said, you need to come to Liberia right now. I was editing House of the Clock and Its Walls. I had done some like event in Vegas with Cate Blanchett and Jack Black. And I was like, I'll be right back. And I got on a plane, the Minister of Defense. You can't just fly to Liberia. It was the Minister of Defense who wrote me the letter and gave us permission to go in. And he held the boat for us. So I interview him in the documentary. And then we went out to the boat. I go on the Bob Barker, by the way, Bob Barker supports Sea Shepherd. And Sam Simon, who's the Simpsons producer. There's two boats, Bob Barker and the Sam Simon. So we're on the Bob Barker. And we get on the boat. We take the cameras and we just go to the boat, which is sitting there in port. Now, they're not expecting us. We're like, we're boarding your ship. The Coast Guard, the guys, machine guns, drop the line. We're boarding the ship. So we go up and they're like, go, go, go. And I start filming and the fishermen are like, what the f*** is this? I mean, you're looking at the toilets. You're looking at these abhorrent. It's like a prison. It actually is like a slave ship. It's so disgusting on that boat. And I see where they put, and Sea Shepherd had footage from when it was active. When they got it, they got on 6 months earlier. So it's them killing the sharks, slicing the liver oil, going down this disgusting, and I look in this disgusting dungeon and this shitty, gross oil. I'm holding this bucket. It's 120 degrees. And
yeah.
Throw up. And they're like, that's what this is for. This is what goes in moisturizer. It could become squalene. And by the way, there's a company that is doing sugar-based squalene. There's companies that do plant-based squalene. You don't need to kill a shark. It's actually much more cost efficient to use plants or sugar. So I'm holding this bucket of oil and then they go, we can get down in the freezer. Now we're going down in the freezer and one of the guys starts freaking out. Now they had stabbed the special forces guys. They'd gone after them with a kitchen knife like 3 months earlier. And this is the first time they'd been back. And we have rifles and but if you shoot one of these people, it's very bad. It's an international,
right, it's
you're killing someone in self-defense. And you've provoked them by showing up on the boat with a camera, but then it's an international incident. Then the government's involved. It's like, and people are going to get killed. And then if you shoot someone, you're outnumbered 50-1. Like it could all go very bad.
Oh yeah.
Quickly.
Oh yeah.
There's no version other than it being like a massacre. It's like, you know, you're sitting on this gasoline can with like a torch that's burning. So we go down in the freezer as this guy starts going, I'm having a heart attack. Now, when you have a heart attack, you generally don't scream, I'm having a heart attack. This one guy goes into like a fit, screaming, and he starts riling up everyone else. And they're going, get the cameras off the boat. We've been here 6 months. Now, these are fishermen that are like, we haven't been paid. We're waiting to go out and fish. We didn't do anything wrong. You put us on your boat. So these are like slaves. These are people that have been like, it's victims of human trafficking that are on the boat with no money, 100 degrees, doing nothing. And now, you know, we show up with cameras filming and the guy starts going crazy and it all starts unraveling and the captain starts screaming and the special forces guys are going, and we just go quick, get the footage. And I go down underneath and it's minus, you know, 150 degrees in that freezer already. In like 10 seconds, I'm like bone chilling. And I was like, if they close that thing, we'll die down here. I mean, so we're filming and there's dead hammerheads and dead manta rays, like all this illegal, you know, endangered sharks dead. And then we're like, we have to get the hell, we're like, we got to get off the boat right now, because a riot's going to break out. But then there's no ladders or anything. I'm like, it's all icy and my hands are sticking. We have to like climb up. And like, it's like this sort of panicked rush to get off the boat before the fishermen start going crazy and the guys with the guns. And we were all just, and everyone's trying to keep it cool. Like, calm down. We're leaving. It's okay. We'll take care of it. But you know, you have these people that are so angry that they've been held for 6 months with no money, that they're all suddenly, you become the focal point of their rage. And how can you, I mean, who can blame them? You know, you can't, you're not unsympathetic to them. They're not evil. They don't know what they're getting into. They don't know that this is, you know, they're part of some illegal activity. They're like the poorest people in the world that are just trying to make a living. And, you know, thankfully we got off the boat without incident and we got the footage, but that was one of those days. I was just like, I didn't tell anyone, even until the movie came out. I didn't tell anyone I did that because I didn't want people knowing I was making a documentary about this, because then you show up with a camera. That's how I could get into the fishing tournament in New Bedford, all these places. I was like, hey, I'm just doing a thing about fish. And I didn't tell them who I was. They would sort of recognize me, but that's not the guy from Inglourious Basterds. Like, is that Eli Roth? No, he couldn't be. That guy just looks like him.
You know, why would he be here?
Exactly. So I would get a lot of footage that way. But now people are seeing the movie and they're like, my parents were just like, I can't believe you did that. Like, you really.
I couldn't either.
Yeah. But we got it. But we got lucky. We got lucky for everyone.
How does that make you feel as a filmmaker? Obviously, as a person, it's terrifying. Deep down inside there, you're thinking, this is going to be great. Or are you thinking, like, the film, let me just get the hell out of here?
There's a part of me that, you know, when you're getting the footage of, like, going to Africa and there's drone shots of the Bob Barker and the Lobico 2, you're in, you in the boat in slow motion going, this is going to be awesome. As soon as that happens, I think this could be that moment like Twilight Zone. Like I pushed it too far. Like, I took a film crew here. There was a moment in Green Inferno where our raft almost flipped and I thought I almost just killed seven people. Like, we were like on the river going home and there was a huge storm and we were like terrified holding onto the boat.
On Green Inferno?
On Green Inferno. And I thought we could all die. Like, this is no joke. Like, this thing goes over.
Right.
There's no rescuing. There's no helicopters. There's no nothing. The current's way too strong. We'll all get sucked in the river. There's no recovering from this. And I had that
moment. That's on you.
And that's on
me. That's on you as the head, right?
Yeah. And then completely here, I really thought, what am I trying to do? Like, I want to save sharks, but I don't want anyone to get killed in the process of making the movie. So, you know, it was a harrowing moment. There's just a moment where you sit there and you think, have I pushed this too far? Or is this right on the edge? And as soon as we got out of it, I was, you know, really, really thankful that we got that footage. But, you know, it's like when you're in the water I felt safer in the water diving with tiger sharks, touching the tiger shark, moving the tiger shark, feeding the sharks. And I was fine with all of that. But being on that boat, I thought, these poor people, someone could get killed. Someone's going to get shot. And that's on me. And this wouldn't have happened if I hadn't shown up and provoked everyone with the camera. Now that we made it out, you know, obviously I'm happy we did, because it's a terrible situation that people are finally made aware of.
Last few questions for you. And this has been amazing. So if you want to do Fin 2 and 3, et cetera, is it going to be harder to make the film now that people know that Eli Roth is out to get the shark fin industry?
I think it's, my feeling is that it'll be easier. I think there's so many people that have contacted me going, how can I help? You know, I think you take a different angle that, if you're going to go to the tournaments, I would like to see the lead up to the shark. I wouldn't show up at a shark tournament. I'd go to the sponsors 2 months before and the mayor 3 months before and the town hall meetings and try to get everyone to ask them, why are we doing this? Talk to the local fishermen. Try to get everyone's opinion about, can we put a stop to this before the tournament happens? I'd want to ask Reggie Domingo, what has happened since Finn? What's going? Let's go back to the village in Los Frailes. There's, you know, Los Frailes in Mexico, where there's poor fishermen, where the guy beat the shark and killed, you know, the pregnant shark. The beach next door, Cabo Pulmo, flipped to dive tourism and now makes, you know, hundreds and thousands of dollars in ecotourism. And it's sustainable and it's evergreen. That's literally the beach next door. So can we flip in the show? Can we help Los Frailes flip to being a fishing village to a dive tourism, which is, follow Shark Girl Madison, who's going in Indonesia with the shark fishermen,
yeah,
and starting to take people on shark dives. Follow Ocean Ramsey. Like, I would want to put a positive spin, but basically go with Gary Stokes in Asia. There's so many people who have seen the movie that want to help now that I think we'd actually have, you know, it's not just like, why is Eli making a movie about sharks? It's, oh, look what Finn did. I want to be part of the change. So I think that the element of surprise is gone, but I do think that with the power of the movie behind it, I think a lot more people are going to want to get involved and be vocal and try and help solve the problem.
And it's not like it's completely gone too, because it's a big world. I mean, I'm thinking to like Borat and when Sacha Baron Cohen was doing that, and then he switched over to Bruno. Like, there's a lot of people who still didn't know what, you know, Borat was. So yeah. I think there's still a lot of places you could go that would have no idea who Eli Roth is, because there is such a huge kind of, like you said, global conspiracy behind this whole industry.
Also, I don't have to be the one with the camera. Like, you can go, I mean, we have, you know, Paul Hilton was a photographer. We used a lot of his footage. We had an interview that he did that didn't make the movie, but Paul Hilton in Surabaya was in getting a lot of the stuff where you have like the bulldozers dumping the sharks. And the footage that he got is just, it's unbelievable. So what we would do is have different people in different parts of the world around the globe going and doing the work and doing the interviews. You know, we'd have I'd call it Sharkos or something, where it's like Narcos, but you have people around. The goal is to track people around the world that are doing it and what's the progress and who are the politicians that are on our side and who are the politicians that are blocking it, which companies are pro, you know, helping save sharks and which companies are like, screw it, they're a good ingredient. So it's kind of keeping those people on notice. And you can't use the element of surprise anymore, nor would I. But I think that, you know, having a show that puts constant pressure on the trade and constantly raises awareness is something I'd really love to do.
Yeah.
Something I'm looking at now.
Last two questions. What is the scene that leaves the lasting impression in your mind when you're talking about Finn, or maybe your favorite scene or something along those lines?
Probably my favorite scene was when I was in Boston and I was at the Shark Kill tournament, and the guy was bragging about how we use circle hooks and they're so safe and they pop right out of the shark's stomach. And then they pull up a mako, and Lisa from NOAA slices open the mako, goes, "This is entirely infected." And she cuts open, and she's like, "There's a foreign object inside the shark's stomach. This thing's going to slowly dying." And then we cut it open, and what is it? It's a circle hook. And I look at the guy, and I go, "So what kind of circle is that?" And he goes, "It's a circle hook." And I go, "Is that the one that you said the one pops out, right? Is that the same one?" He goes, And I mean, it's like he ran his mouth. And then it was like, God, it was amazing. It was like to have, that's when you feel like the universe is looking out for you. It's just like, here's this guy talking about how sharks don't get hurt because we use a circle hook. They pull up this beautiful poor mako shark, slice it open, and its stomach is rotting because of a circle hook. I was like, God sent me that shark to film it. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I was like, there's someone in the universe that's like, here you go. And I said, you know what? This one mako shark will not go to it. It's like, your death will not be in vain. I remember thinking, this shark was sent to me from some divine spirit saying, here you go. This is the moment. You couldn't have planned it more perfectly. This guy literally says it. The shark shows up. It's killed and bites, completely infected and inedible from the circle hook. And he's on camera just with absolutely no explanation whatsoever. Yeah. I was like, that to me was like one of those divine moments that makes the whole movie worth it. And then being on that boat, that moment we were in that freezer when the guy started having the heart attack and we had to get the hell out of there. That one walk of climbing out of the freezer from the freezer to the thing with all the fishermen screaming. And then it's almost like we couldn't even put the cameras, we couldn't even film them. Like we had to actually hold the cameras away. Like it was tense, but you know, we got it.
Yeah, you got it though, yeah. And last question for you, do you think there's a chance that this can be abolished? Like you mentioned, save the whales and the whales kind of
absolutely,
left alone.
Absolutely. I think the shark industry wants you to feel helpless. The shark, and it's really not. I mean, it completely can be reversed, but it only can be reversed if we really all stop the trade, and we stop the trade by stop buying it. Don't buy the shark pills. Don't buy the shark meat. Look at your products and see if it has squalene, if that has shark liver oil. Demand, tweet the companies, post them on Facebook, demand that they use plant-based squalene. And then go to finthemovie.com. I put a button right at the top saying, write your rep. It's a letter you copy and paste, drop down menu. What's your zip code? There's your rep. That's the only way we can do it. It's basically the simplest way to do it. But if we can ban the shark fin trade and then start going after the pills and then start, if you go into Publix, Publix in Florida sells shark meat. And if you see that meat,
wow,
has that fake label, like dogfish or rock salmon or one of those weird labels,
right,
what is that? Go into your supermarket, film it and say, is that shark? And then have it go, has it been tested for mercury? 32 times the amount of allowable mercury. And go, how can you sell this? And talk to the manager and say, please don't sell this. These are endangered. And it's dangerous for humans to eat. So there absolutely is a chance, but we need that blackfish moment where everyone goes, okay, enough. This is insane. We got to shut it down. I'm one voice and I can only point out what I saw and what I learned and what is going to happen, what we all see coming. But the public has to really decide, yeah, this is crazy. There's no reason for shark to be out of the water. We got to stop this.
Well, once again, you did it, man. All your films are great. This one is great for different reasons in a different way. And it was awesome to watch and awesome to talk to you about it, dude.
Thanks, Chris. You're the best, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man. The Tom Hanks of Talk is Jericho. It's actually been six times.
Wow.
Not just five.
Unbelievable.
Six times. Thanks, dude.
Talk to you later.